Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. Again, we're still excited about being one of the top five podiatry podcasts on all of the internet, according to feedspot.com. We've got a great doubleheader today. A couple of my favorite guests, Gary Reinl. He's a trainer of trainers, trainer of champions. He's the author of numerous books, his latest being the exciting book, Iced, the Illusionary Treatment Option, and that whole buzz. He's returning along with Matt Chaney. Matt is an author. He's the author of Spiral of Denial. He's a sports historian with great emphasis in football and the concerns, the world of concussions. Four Walls Publishing. Then it'll be the Sports Doctors in and your emails. First, I want to welcome back Gary Reinl to the Sports Doctor. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dr. Rob. Glad to be here. I love your show.
Great. Thank you so much. And Gary's been on numerous times as we are blazing the trail of the exciting, revolutionary concept of the use of ice for injuries. You know, still, who would have thunk it in many ways? So, Gary, give me a little bit of a feedback. Gary's worked with every professional team. He's worked with from seniors to pre-pregnant moms, et cetera. But this big explosion with the ice and air. Give us some background, Gary.
Well, Dr. Bob, was one of those things where I tried to become the leading authority in the world on how to use ice most effectively. And what I did was simply started asking around in the elite market that I work, what do you do with ice? How do you use it? Why do you use it? What do you do? Are there any evidence to support what you're saying? And what I quickly found out, quickly meaning about 7 years it took me to get through all the process, I found out that basically almost everyone used ice some point in the recovery process. Yet there was no standardized protocol. There was no agreement that it was helpful. And in fact, there was undeniable proof that it was harmful.
When did you start paying attention to this, roughly? When was that?
It's just about 10 years ago now.
Okay.
Because my book's now been out for about 6 years. So it's about...
Yeah. Now, of course...
It might be 11 years ago it was.
Okay. And you end up giving credit, which is the reality that numbing something that's hurt or just injured, ice has a role. When it comes to all the other sides of things that we've seen, from every player with the ice on his shoulder to, hey, rub it down, et cetera, that's all what you realize with all your research wasn't true.
It's not true. In fact, the doctor who made up the RICE protocol, the rest, ice, compression, and elevation, which is, I believe, the most recognized protocol in Western medicine, the doctor,
yes,
who made up that protocol, Harvard doc, not only publicly recanted after he read my book. In other words, he said, I made this up in my 1978 sports medicine book. Research has clearly shown I was wrong. Don't do it. It delays healing. And then gives a specific reference to the fact that it caused additional damage. He not only recanted, he then wrote the foreword to the second edition of my book. So at this point, I believe it is fair for me to say that I took down the most recognized protocol in Western medicine and got the doctor who made it up to write the foreword to my book to take it down.
You know, I always told you, Gary, that this whole endeavor that you've been on, this tremendous information, reminded me so much of my sports medicine superstar colleague, fellow member of the National Fitness Hall of Fame, kinesiotherapist Bob Guida, who, when I first met him in the late 70s and early 80s, he was really arguing against stretching and talking about you know, where's the evidence, et cetera, et cetera. And the world came after him the same way they have come after you in the idea, which is, you know, these traditions, they die so hard. And I think one of the big things I get out of what you're saying is it retards the natural body's healing process of exchange of fluids, et cetera, getting the healing process moving. You're kind of shutting it down because of the ice therapy. I think I bet it really surprised you also. After all, you went into this with the goal of seeing what was the best way and what were the ideas behind ice therapy that you had been around. What's your sports medicine career, 40-something years?
Well, 1973, so I guess I'm at 46 years now, so it's been a while. Actually,
you're a couple of years ahead of me.
I think you're older, though, aren't you?
I'm a little.
You wasted time in medical school. See, I didn't do that.
Right. You just got really into the meat and greed of it. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back 10 years. The ones before that, I think, were on Reel to Reel or something. But you could see what were the topics, who were the guests, international flavor of all areas in the world of fitness or wellness or nutrition or the big, we pay so much attention to the mental game on the Sports Doctor. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read on an endless array of topics, the challenge of specialization, the whole world of concussions that I've talked about for so many years. My second guest, Matt Chaney, has a lot to say about that. We're talking with Gary Reinl. He is the editor of ICED, the Illusionary Treatment Option. Gary also, again, he's very big into the world of simplifying the complex, as Gary would say, of the complex world of sports medicine, rehab, fat loss, all these things that you've been so much involved in. How has by the way, Gary, give me quickly the website people could find out about the book and information about you and the million things you've written.
GaryReinl.com. That's GaryReinl.com. So my name.com.
So again, in the area of the medical profession, you have every athletic trainer in the world. You have every coach, whatever parent, and the now you've seen a much more open-mindedness to the first wall breaking down, which was the going against some sort of religious factor that, of course, ICE is so. How's the melting going, Gary?
Well, I'll give you a simple thing about that, a great point. Once I learned the right question, now, it took me years to get the right question, but now I just ask people, do you think it's a good idea to trap the waste in and around the damaged site and prevent the natural flow of oxygen and supplies? Thus
great
far,
way to,
I've asked,
great
many,
way to say
I've
it.
Asked many thousands of trainers, doctors, and physical therapists and sports medicine that question. Not a single one has ever said, yes, it's a good idea to trap the waste in and around the damaged site and prevent the natural flow of oxygen and supplies. Well, that's precisely what icing or the RICE protocol does. You can't deny it. You can't argue. You can't debate because you lose. There's nowhere to go with it. It traps the waste in and around the damaged site and prevents the natural flow of oxygen supplies. Now, why in the world would you want to do that? And right after
right.
that,
well, it's
people
the ongoing
just fall
therapy.
In line.
Yeah. The ongoing therapy also, Gary. I think you don't have a problem if somebody says, we just had an acute injury putting ice on it because it's hurting like crazy. Till we can get going, I think that probably is its lone, and even that is subjective, a particular use compared to the routine using of so-called icing and, you know, that whole scenario because the numbing effect. But that's a great question when you talk about the shutting that down. Now, so much of your world, the Mark Pro, that muscle activation. Now, muscle activation is what you replace the whole world of icing dash quote healing with the idea of getting motion and muscle activation around an injured area, getting the healing exchange of fluids. That's how I've read so much of your preciseness. Did I hit it on the head?
Yeah, Dr. Bob, look, it's real simple. When you and I grew up back in the late 50s, when I got injured, when anyone I knew got hurt playing sports, we were told to walk it off. Don't sit still, it'll tighten up. Keep moving. We all knew that walking it off was how you solved it. And we know that now. I didn't know then. No one ever said to me, oh, that's how your passive lymphatic system works. That's how you evacuate the waste from and around the damaged site. That's how you bring in the fresh supply of oxygen into the blood. That's how you decongest the area. No one ever told me that's how it works, but we knew it worked. So all Mark Pro has done is given us the way electronically walk it off. It's such a great idea because now I can take somebody while they're on the plane, in the train, on the hotel, in the car, sitting back in the training room, back at their house, at their dorm, wherever they are, and they can electronically walk it off safely without stressing the damaged tissue, as unfortunately we often did back in the 50s and 60s when they told us to walk it off. Every once in a while, somebody was walking on a broken bone, and that's not a good plan. Where when you electronically walk it off, you get all of the good with none of the bad.
Yes, especially once you get past, acute phase, you know, where something just happened, and the ability to maybe work peripheral areas. And I know you make a very big deal when you talk about any of these therapies. So no one's talking about moving an area that's really injured, that really, really hurts. You're saying no one's looking for pain here, but surrounding motion. Imagine an ankle is sprained, and we're talking about someone moving their toes, moving the ankle slowly in the area that doesn't hurt, maybe bending a knee, and stimulating the healing world against something of electric muscle stim. Is Mark Pro an electric muscle stim unit?
It is. The electric muscle
stimulation device. Yes, it is. It's something in generality. Yeah.
It's an electronic muscle stimulation device. But it's really a big point here there that you're saying. Because the passive lymphatic system, until you decongest the area in and around the damaged site, you're causing additional damage because you're beginning to suffocate and kill otherwise perfectly healthy cells that were not involved in the initial trauma. So you've got to decongest it if you want to spare that healthy tissue that wasn't initially injured. Then on top of that, you've got to restore circulation in and around that damaged site. The only way to do that is via loading the tissue. That doesn't mean that you cause additional damage. You don't make it hurt. And in fact, what you'll find is if you find a neutral position, you decongest the area and restore circulation, most of your pain goes away.
Yes, it's helpful. This is what's interesting, Gary, is the challenge now, especially, of the routine use of ice packs after the activity, whether it's the basketball player walking around with the packs on his knees, the pitcher after he pitches, and getting the point across that it's not helpful in recovery. And you have, you know, all sorts of anecdotal and whatever. You've seen an awful lot of positive feedback, again, in all different sports levels, from the highest to professional. That, you know, that's going to be another habit that will be different when that athlete is saying, well, what else should I be doing? And maybe you say, well, maybe you should have the Mark Pro on the area after you pitch 10 innings or that.
Well, right now, Bob, so you know, I have players from all 30 major league teams. I believe I have players from all minor league teams also, and well over 200 major league pitchers, and there's only 390 of them. In fact, I just got back from the winter meetings, and I can tell you for certain that in the entire conversation of the winter meetings with the trainers, the vast majority were talking about the message that I'm giving you right now. That in fact, the biggest topic of conversation was the article on Men's Health,
yeah,
written by Lindsay Berra, who, believe it or not, is Yogi Berra's granddaughter, a very qualified, capable, competent writer. And she did a spectacular job laying out what I'm telling you here and providing all of the related references. And in fact, a star from your hometown, Chip Schaefer from the Chicago Bulls,
yes,
is quoted in there making a comment along the lines of, this is not verbatim, but along the lines of, look, I iced Michael Jordan back in the day, and I thought I was doing the right thing. A lot of people have a hard time admitting they were wrong.
True.
This is a legendary trainer.
Yes.
He is a legendary. That Stevie has 6 championship rings. The guy's been around for 35 years. He's even admitting, look, we did it wrong.
And guess what? From a practical point of view, again, in the book that I co-authored a year and a half ago, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, my chapter, The Sports Doctor's In, we're talking about the treatment of acute and overuse injuries. The book's all about the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. And I quote Gary, and I talk from a practical point of view again about the what should be done differently regarding in the world of youth sports, compared to, this whole idea of the use of ice. And now we're really, really seeing, and it's very evident, that the feedback you're getting professionally is exciting.
Over a million people have now heard the message, and that's a real count, over a million people, and I'm well over a million, by the way. Over 100 professional athletic teams use my information that I directly consult with. Over 500 collegiate teams, and I'm significantly impacted in the U.S. military. So it isn't just a few people.
No, I've been pushing you. Well, I wonder when you were first on the show. 5 years ago?
About 5 years ago, because the book had just come out. So,
I will continue to have you on and to continue to talk about these. When we might laugh and when we say revolutionary, right? Some of these habits, they really, really, really die hard. Again, you've been such a big part of the rehabilitation side of it. And again, the only two areas that all athletes care about. One, can I prevent trouble and deal with it if it's there? And two, how can I be a step or two quicker, recover faster? The whole idea in the worlds of sports medicine. So give me again, Gary, the website. People could find out about you. They could find out about MedPro also, right?
Well,
MarkPro's website is
MarkPro, MarkPro.com. And my website is my name, GaryReinel@AOL.com. And by the way, all of my articles are on there for free, and any of your listeners can take them, use them, hand them out. I want people to
recommend
get the information
all the time.
Out.
Gary, thank you. Thank you so much, Gary. Hold on. Everybody will be right back.
The meltdown continues.
Hold on, buddy. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of 2 daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into 4 sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And I'm excited. Matt Chaney, one of our favorite guests. Matt's a historian of football, is the author of Spiral of Denial, the history of doping in football. He's Four Walls Publishing. He does some music history, but he's really a leader in the area of awareness of the whole world, what I call society's great dilemma. What are we going to do about tackle football, especially youth tackle football? Matt Chaney, welcome back, man.
Thanks, Sports Doc. It's always great to be on, man.
Give me a little bit of background on you and your passion and interests as a sports historian, specifically with your whole thrust into the spiral of denial, the whole world of that.
Well, I played football and played through college here in Missouri and enjoyed the game, but I got to be blunt. You know, I enjoyed it for the athletic violence. I never thought it was a safe game, never assumed it was, never really recommended it to anyone. And still,
But you loved it. You loved it and you wanted to play.
Right. I was able to, I didn't begin playing tackle football in pads and helmets till I was 16. And it was pretty much, my decision. My parents didn't want me to play necessarily. So, I was socialized into the game like a lot of guys are. You know, I loved watching it on TV. And of course, I loved the school spirit and the culture there around the schools and colleges. And so, I wanted to be a part of it. But again, going in, I knew that, it was kill or be killed.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Matt. You know, it's the biggest sport in the country. I'm still a Louisville and a Bears fan. I think we always knew over the past decades that, joint injuries and all sorts of bodily combat injuries were a big, big part of football. Everybody knew it. Everybody accepted it. But in this past decade or so, as the reality has hit us between the eyes with the brain involvement, that becomes a whole different story. How did that world and the even into the side of the, like what you wrote about in Spiral of Denial, that whole sports medicine paying attention to the world of football, how did that passion get going with you?
Well, the first thing I really wanted to do coming out of college football, foremost, I was going to be a writer. And I pretty much decided in college football as a user of synthetic testosterone that I was going to tell the story as accurately as I could for the definite problem of drugs and football, which hasn't gone anywhere, by the way. And if anything, it's only gotten worse since my time 30 years ago. And then worked on that really extensively in the late 90s through the early 2000s. Book comes out in 2009. And right about then, I actually even mentioned in the book at the end how the head injuries were coming to the fore, especially through the disability suits and contests that NFL veterans are bringing forth. And we all knew, I think, I was at that time, I was really close with Steve Corson, the late Steve Corson, who died in 2005. And before Steve died, he was great friends with Mike Webster. That was one of his best friends on the Steelers. And Steve was right on top of this in 2005 and really brought me into it. And then as I finished the book in the succeeding years, then it just really blew up, so to speak. And by the time Spiral of Denial comes out in 2009, it's on as far as these head injuries and trying to brain trauma and trying to really sort out the load of misinformation and mythology yes. that surrounds this. And,
well, it's a gigantic it's a gigantic business. It's Friday yes. Night Lights. It's the NFL. Yep. It's college football. It's the very, very exciting. The athletes are bigger, faster, stronger than they've ever been. Yep. And the violence of the game, which was always a almost video game-like, hey, John Madden, everybody was excited about the warrior mm-hmm. side of things. We were sold a bill of goods. You've written about it extensively. They've been worried about football, what, since the 1880s? Something
well,
like that?
Well, that's what's... since in the last 10 years, there's another big development, and it is our ability to now... perform electronic search on newspapers prior to 1960 up through roughly, say, 2009 when I was doing Spiral. We were fairly limited in our electronic search of newspapers going back to around 1980, some 1970s. But then the
really?
New, yes, now,
yeah, that's
since,
it, that's
it. Yes, it's these newspapers, these old newspapers that have really exposed the fact that football.
It was a big concern, right? It was huge.
In the 1890s, by 1899, we had essentially all the talking points we have in place right now for, quote, safer football, including the term. In 1888, they assured us they were going to have safe football, including yes. tackling with head to the side. 1899, we had a coach in college football, a doctor, Coach Dr. R.C. Armstrong in Brooklyn, who basically laid out the heads-up technique of today. He said,
right.
hit with your head up, your eyes up, and head to the side.
Yes.
Now, and it's yes, impossible. It's impossible, yes. let me tell
it's,
you.
It's close to it. And I think one of the things you've talked about for years, a lot of your colleagues, Dr. Don Brady, the school psychologist,
yes.
who's written extensively.
Yes.
Some of these others, the pink concussions, Snitaker.
Yes, Catherine. Catherine Snitaker.
Kimberly,
yes.
Kimberly Archie. The
Kimberly Archie.
You have put together quite a group of talented individuals, all with the same attention on the realities of some of these things. You know, the fact that over the years, we thought if we build a strong enough helmet, then, you know, maybe we'll be able to really, they sold that for forever. And then the reality
since 1900,
was,
since 1900, yes. they've said it, anti-concussion helmet.
Right. And the reality is that helmets, besides being a weapon, really prevent against skull fractures wonderfully.
Right.
But
right.
the real problem of colliding bodies against each other or hitting the ground, let alone
sure.
hitting in head contact, is what
absolutely.
slams the brain around. And
right.
yes, you could slide into second base and get a concussion. You could
yep.
be coming down from a rebound and get a concussion, et cetera, et cetera. But only football, with the constant collisions, I think has been all of a sudden front and center. I would assume, Matt's been on ESPN. What was it? Is it Behind the Lines? What's the name of that show, Matt?
It was Outside the Lines.
Outside the Lines.
Yeah,
I knew
yeah.
I'd get it wrong. And so you have come across the kinds of resistance that I thought might have worn you out over the years. Right? But, you know, my son would say to me, Dad, what are you, writing something against the NFL? What are you, out of your mind? My friend, a member of the Super Bowl Bears, Dave Duerson,
yep.
Who committed suicide and asked his family, the Dave Duerson Foundation today is one of the great youth discussion groups regarding this whole world. Going back to the question that I had, Matt, I'll give it to you again, man, which is, society's great dilemma, which is, what are we going to do about tackle football, knowing what we know, especially in youth football? I'd like to see flag football up to the college level, but don't tell anybody I said that.
You know, I tell you, the only real clear lines of demarcation here, boundaries that we can, that I see, we've looked everywhere. We've looked to all sorts of studies on development of the brain, what age, you know, should there be youth football? Should there be middle school football, high school only? When, to me, regarding medical ethic and law and child protection law, you're looking at the line of demarcation is juvenile or perhaps driving age. And that is a clear set line. I think,
yes.
I think football's
sensible.
Problem. Football is not golf. It is not basketball. It's not baseball. Progressive skills, aren't really required. Quarterbacks definitely need development throughout their young lives, but they can get pretty close simulation without getting pounded on.
Yeah,
and
you truly
seven on
play.
Seven and yeah. Pass football until they're 16. That's the greatest. I love playing that stuff. Always did.
Ironically.
And the point about, bringing in all of these kids under the age of consent, millions of them every year. Here it is, folks. We have tens of thousands of surgical operations involving kids under the age of consent every year. We have thousands of bone fractures, surely a million concussions given the published criteria of brain trauma. On and on. And meanwhile, you can't buy a cigarette now in 19 states until you're 19. Nowhere can you drive a car until you're 16. You can't enter the military until you're of adult age. Now we have jurisdictions who are banning tanning beds. The CDC says no tanning beds for kids. Hey, I don't know that realm. But then we stick them in helmets and tell them to collide.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to say it's safe or not, it isn't safe. And it cannot be in a forward colliding kill sport. The name of the game is to knock out your opponent. And I mean knocking down minimally. I wanted to knock them out. I'm sorry.
Yes.
If I were playing again today, I'd be the same way.
We're talking with historian, Four Walls Publishing, Matt Chaney. We'll be back for another segment with Matt. He's going to share some of that excitement and enthusiasm with us again. We'll be right back at the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Matt Chaney, a football sports historian. He's the author of Spiral of Denial, The History of Doping in Football. It's interesting, Matt. You mentioned something that's a big deal to me. One of the chapters in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is drugs, youth sports, and drugs.
Yes.
You mentioned something that's just as big a deal and problem today as it ever was, which is shocking, although that's the reality. The pressure to play hurt, the pushing of these kinds of concepts earlier of ages. Dr. Wild, don't you understand? My daughter's got a competition this week. She's got to dance. Et cetera, et cetera, caused me over the years, Matt, to change the label of what's in your book, Plenty. you know, performance-enhancing drugs, right?
Yes, sir.
I have a new title for them that you got to put it next to it in quotes. It's performance surviving drugs.
Right.
Sports culture today, even in the youth area, is so dramatically pressurized in so many different ways. It's one of the reasons I'm very excited about natural substances like CBD in order to be able to enhance recovery and some of these other things without dealing with drugs in that particular case. How was the sports world and medical feedback to this tremendous discussion, almost expose, really, with spiral denial?
Well, it was crickets. That's how they deal with me, is ignore it. And no, it was it the book received worldwide publicity. I was on most major networks, or at least in the print media, several networks live, radio or TV. It was a situation where when they were talking about
down,
it,
Matt.
Big pharma.
Big pharma.
Oh yeah, and that's everything's a business, and that's why, for instance, we still want to put 4 to 5 million kids in helmets and pads every year. This is a multi-billion-dollar business to some people, and they're going to do everything they can to keep it intact, unfortunately. And so the drug situation is very, very, you know, this is what I say, if they would have adults only, people of consent age participating in football, they could completely disavow all the dangers right up front, the direct and indirect dangers. You know, the direct dangers like trauma from head to toe, and the indirect dangers, the foremost in my mind, is drugs. The stuff is everywhere in this game from high school up easily. And you can't function without it. You're not playing football and really doing your job pounding people if you don't have to resort to drug use of some sort of during the year for pain.
Yes. Even if it's over the counter.
And over the counter is, you know, that I tell you, I got some great advice from NFL players in the 80s, thank God, and including a couple who were drug addicts at that point, who said, look, whatever it is, you know, you have surgery, you use painkillers to get out of that hospital, and don't touch them, don't take a prescription home, just stick to ice, ibuprofen, such substances as that, and just grit your teeth, because you do not want to begin relying on opioids.
Yes. And now, you know what, Matt? When you hear our show next week and you hear my first guest, Gary Reinel, the authorized, and that whole world, then you'll say, you know what? We ain't even going to put ice on it. The over-the-counter medications, you'll see. He's a maverick like you. He is a maverick like you. What is the best website find out about you and some of your writings, the book? What's the best website, Matt?
Well, it would just be my publishing website, which is fourwallspublishing.com. That's spelled out F-O-U-R, walls, plural. And then you can also patch into everything easily just by going to chaneysblog.com, and that's C-H-A-N-E-Y-S. blog.com, chaneysblog.com, and you'll find quite a bit of information either placed there. You can search my name in Google around Ryder or football, and you'll reach a load of information, other stories I've written for magazines, newspapers, websites, and there's more of the history there. In the last few years, I've basically been going back and reconstructing the history of football debate since the 1880s, and it's just been like clockwork, you know, about every 15, 20, 25 years at the most, there's a huge outcry of the injuries, and then there's the usual promises, oh, we're going to have safe equipment now, we're going to change the rules, we're going to have trained players and coaches, we're going to have heads-up tackling, And then it's all right, mom and dad and boys and now girls. And, you know, I'm sorry. That's a crock. And
that's
no one should believe it. No one should believe it.
That's the dilemma, Matt, which is the reality. Again, I go back to my one sentence, which is there is no safe tackle football. If you want to
use your eyesight,
if you want to get, I think you make a lot of sense. Also, besides that reality, the sense of, you know, at areas of consent. If you're a professional player, you're making millions of dollars. Even if you're a serious college player, and you're willing to take the risks. You know, you're of age of consent. You're not necessarily, you know, again, your kid grows up. He's a fan. He's all excited. Of course, he wants to play. You can never argue with him. But that kind of reality. But again, all of these things. We have made a lot of progress, Matt. You're one of the champions of awareness. Like my first guest, Gary, when he first talked about his research with ice and they wanted to hit him over the head with a bag of ice, the challenge of battling these myth-like scenarios, all of us growing up in the world of seeing how big football really, really has become, and getting hit in the head, pardon my pun, with the reality of some of these things really, really calls out for some major, major changes. But boy, oh boy, with all that resistance, although now I think, again, right, a lot of the were there listening to you, sort of.
Well, could be. People like me and really myself, I just react to the BS as well. I'm not necessarily a crusader. I don't, you know, I'm not.
No kidding.
But I just cannot stand to stand idly by, you know, to hear the persistent, redundant, retreaded promises that surely football understands by now is a bunch of malarkey. And, you know, but I don't know if they, you know, they still want to put kids in helmets and pads. I think they got a serious problem. I think they got a real serious problem, and it ain't going to go anywhere, and it's going to come down like a load of bricks on the entire sport if the whole sport doesn't face up to the facts here. If these guys want their NFL, if these guys want their college football, they better get rid of some of this outback jungle land carnival stuff going on that put kids' life at stake every day. It's a joke.
Yes. Well, again, you're paying attention to these sort of things makes so much sense. You know, on a very, very serious side, the whole educational challenge of youth sports safety and the challenges of sports, especially contact sports, the uniqueness of something like football as we're all coming to grips with this. Again, I keep coming back to what I call the great dilemma of our society. You know, how are we going to fit this in? What are we going to do about it? There's so much. I think one of the things, you might have said it, that if we invented tackle football today, we wouldn't allow it. Keep up the great work, historian, fourwallspublishing.com, author of Spiral of Denial. He's in the middle of writing more books. Keep it up. Matt, hold on a second, but thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you.
Hold on. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We're back. It's the Sports Doctor. Sports Doctor's In segment. Happy holidays, everybody. I got to mix that in, man. Christmas and New Year's, Hanukkah, it's all coming up. Next week, Eric Soderholm was a member of the famous hitmen of the Chicago White Sox. He was the comeback player of the year, 1977. He was the first professional baseball player that ever put orthotics in his spikes. Eric was always a leader in the mental game. He worked with different mental sports therapists when he was a player. Now he owns Soda World, local organization involving all aspects of health and wellness with his daughter, Misty. Excited about having Eric on. And Joe Staub, he's one of the executive directors of Strive, a wearable sports analysis and equipment company. The following week is Christmas. We'll be repeating a show. Haven't figured that out yet. The week after that, also New Year's. I can't get anybody to show up, including me. We'll have some great stuff. Let's see, emails. Jean, my 13-year-old daughter has loose, dislocating knees. She's been in physical therapy. She loves recreational sports. Would orthotics be helpful? Almost always, Jean. Properly done, orthotics is one of our biggest weapons for proper alignment and control of loose jointedness. I've seen orthotics stop dislocating knees over the years. We would always be including the important areas of physical therapy, of strengthening, all of these sides of that equation. But often when a condition is called ligamentous laxity, the laxness, looseness of ligaments, tendons that allow sometimes excessive range of motion where something can actually be dislocated. Sometimes we'll see that loosey-goosey, flat-footedness, they're not complaining because they just stretch those areas so they can have the imbalance. They don't complain their feet hurt. They never come into the world of orthotic control. Pay attention to that, Gene. Jesse says, my 15-year-old son plays soccer. The ankles and overuse, he talked to coaches because they do some stair running in some of their practices when they're indoors. I'm concerned about overuse. Jesse, I'm also concerned about overuse. It's one of the biggest reasons I co-authored the book, Hashtag A Sports Parents, was the epidemic of overuse injuries. Many coaches in their zealousness to try to have the best athletes, even in their sometimes misconceptions of trying to prevent trouble, get the strongest, best physically active kid, overdo it. Too much jumping, running stairs, too much running. If the sport especially involves jumping and or running, soccer, the last thing we need is more pounding. So you want to bring that up because many times that's a concern in the world of overkill and overuse, usually getting a good physical therapist involved is very, very helpful regarding helping to set guidelines. There's lots of programs now. You could call your local Athletico, ATI Physical Therapy, Physical, to give some good advice to that coach. Bob says, my 33-year-old I am 33 years old. I still play adult hockey. My ankles bother me in skates. They used to bother me when I grew up playing hockey. You know something, Bob? You really want to look at orthotics big time. I've had great success, as everybody who listens to the Sports Doctor knows, in the world of hockey, super world of figure skating. Again, my poster boy, Evan, are you out there? He was 10 years old when we first put orthotics in Evan's skates. Evan Lysacek grew up in Naperville, Illinois. 12 years later, he was the Olympic gold medalist. He was the best in the world. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old figure skates. skating activities, hockey included, we can get great control over abuse to the ankles, and many times we'll add strengthening. We do want to pay attention to the boots you're in. We do want to pay attention to adding strengthening and conditioning. You say you might have already been doing a lot of that, but orthotics is one of the major keys because of alignment. Oh, by the way, Bob, you'll be a step or two quicker. I'd add that to the mix. You can email me, drrweil, sportsdoctor@yahoo.com, drrweil, sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Stacy, what about those Rocker Bottom fitness shoes? Are they any benefit? You know, Stacy, I don't see many of them anymore. Creating imbalance is almost always really helpful. So adding some Rocker Bottom shoes to walk around in, they weren't like you're going to lose weight in some sort of magical conditioning scenario. But ironically, in a good fitting shoe, good sneaker, creating imbalance is strengthening. Works the core, the back, the hips. I wouldn't wear those kinds of shoes all day. We have had some seniors who benefited, depending on their arthritis or whatever, from a Rocker Bottom shoe. But getting away from the hoopla, hula hoop hoopla, that was the greatest of fitness things, it can be very beneficial. It's added to a program where, for example, I'm going to the gym and I'm wearing the Rocker Bottom shoes. I'm doing some activities, wearing them part-time in order to add some of that instability. I really, really like instability training. I like balancing on balance boards. I like standing and balancing on the BOSU equipment. My friend Matt Dahl and the Sand Dune Stepper, which simulates sand resistance, is fantastic. Creating imbalance, even seniors and super seniors, doing balance exercises is one of the greatest ways, one of the best ways to safely prevent falling. So it's a weapon. Charles, I got this email a long time ago. He said, will Tiger Woods hold up? You know, Charles, he has held up. Amazingly so. For a man who's had not only his superstardom and his unique success in the world of golf, but who's had three or four back surgeries, all of them serious, knee surgery, Achilles tendon problems, his share of being able to return at all to golf is a tremendous achievement for the surgeons, the doctors, the therapists, the mental coaches, all who worked with Tiger to bring him back. We wish him nothing but success. Wow, we're out of time. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Happy holidays. See you next week.